Welcome back to the Morning Show studio on WRCO Radio. We are in the studio with some Ithaca FFA students, and we also have their advisor, Melissa Sprecher, in to join us. And again, thanks for inviting Carter and, you know, having Riverdale represented here today. That's awesome. So when you talk about some of the things that you do as a group, you do, it's kind of a family, whether you're, what school you're in, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We try to do a lot of stuff together with the different chapters and help out where we can. Of course, every time we go to an event, you're, mingling and, talking about what's going on. And, like when you go to the county fairs and some different things like that, you're obviously, those kids see each other. And then outside of FFA, even in sports, we'll see these kids at different events. So yeah, it's great to, lift each other up and, promote each other's chapters and stuff. It's about getting more, getting more kids involved in FFA. And just trying to, get the word out, and whether they're in, the Riverdale chapter, River Valley, Richland Center, Ithaca, whichever school they're in, it's just to, get out all the awesome things that FFA does and just kind of help build that next generation of leaders, because that's super important that, we have these kids equipped to go out into the world and to be leaders, because one day, they're going to be the adults of the world. And so we want to get them trained in the right direction.
Thing of it is, it seems like there are a lot more opportunities than, mm-hmm. than when I was in school. I mean, you have some of the same things and contests and things like that, but it's really expanded, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So it always amazes me when I start teaching the history of FFA to my students. I usually start in seventh grade with them. And I talk about how it used to be, there was a black FFA chapter, and then there was the national FFA. And so because of, at that time, they couldn't have them together, because with the southern states, there was they didn't allow it. And so it was just interesting how amazed these kids are. They're like, what? Like, that's that, they came together and became one chapter. Okay, well, that's awesome. And then I'm like, yeah, and then girls weren't allowed to be in FFA till 1969. And then they're like, well, why couldn't they? And I'm like, well, at the time when this all started, girls did home ec and boys did tech ed or agriculture, because the goal was to train them to go out to have jobs in those fields, and for to train girls basically to be good housewives. And it's just such a foreign concept, because things have changed so much. And one of the things that has changed is it used to be called Future Farmers of America. And we recognized that there's more to agriculture than just farming. And so we are now the National FFA organization, and we understand that there's so many parts. And so we really try to include all those pieces of parts that are part of agriculture, whether it is through business, whether it is through marketing, whether it is through actually, doing the livestock part of it, through the grain part, whatever part it is that touches that agriculture, we want to make sure that we're able to have those kids be part of that, expose them to that. I always love exposing kids to different career paths they can go down that isn't specifically like you're working in the field or you're working with animals or you're working at the local mill. There's so many other pieces and parts, like, working for a company where you're in the lab developing the next generation of seed. Some of those people never go out into the field. That's their job. They're doing the lab part of it. And so there's lots of opportunities out there. And so, yeah, FFA, every time that they add something new, it's to kind of either showcase or encourage kids to go into those different fields. And we have contests now, like you said, like there's, the ag sales, there's marketing contests, there are lots of opportunities out there. And the speaking contests are always really great. I always like to push the kids to go do those and to kind of go outside their comfort zone as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, I did that back in the day. Yeah. So when you look at it, too, if you look back at a yearbook and you go back 50 years, mm-hmm. you're lucky to see maybe one, two or three young women mm-hmm. in the picture, you know, and now it's kind of flipped. Sometimes you see more women than the guys, right?
Yeah, it is interesting because, like I said, it was 1969 when they allowed women to be part of FFA. But now when you look at those leadership positions, there's a lot of leadership teams that are, strong, heavy on the side of more females than males. And I think our state officer team for the last few years has had more females than males, and like our local, Ithaca, same thing. And I don't have like an explanation of why that is, because I mean, obviously it's not like there's anything that favors, the women over the men to be leaders, but it is awesome to see that they have that opportunity to do that. And it is a great thing.
Your chapter, the last few years, you've really accomplished a lot. You've had some kind of unprecedented things happen, haven't you?
Yeah, we did. We really, when we got rolling, when I came over to be the FLA advisor, we had a great group of seniors that year too, or juniors and seniors that really wanted to do a lot in FFA. So that helps a lot when you have those kids and really started bringing kids into FFA. And one of the things that we really set out to do was to really encourage kids to do the contest. So if you're going to be part of FFA, we wanted you to choose a contest to do where you could learn something new. And so it wasn't necessarily like, we're just going to sign you up and you're going to go. You actually have to practice and learn something about that. And I just remember one of the teams that I think is the most interesting is I had this group of four boys that had zero experience with poultry. Like, they weren't even farm kids, and they became the poultry team. And so they learned how to judge eggs. They learned how to judge chickens. They learned how to know what the different parts of, you know, the chicken is. And so it was just great that they learned. And those are all good real life experiences, like when you go to the grocery store to know what kind of meat you're buying. So we really push that to get those kids to try something new, to learn something new. But then also we started doing a lot more of the award applications, and we hadn't had an American degree since 1958. John Lewis, which many people in the area probably know, he was our last American degree. And so the American degree is one that less than 1% of all FFA members in the United States get. So it's a pretty prestigious award, pretty lengthy application, and it basically covers everything that you've done through your FFA career. And they have certain guidelines of things that you've had to accomplish as far as like hours of education, time or money invested in your project, different things like that, community service, leadership, all these different things. So last year, my oldest daughter, Chelina, was our first American degree recipient since 1958. And again, because women were not allowed to be in FFA before, you know, at that time, she was the first woman in Ithaca to get her American degree. And now this year, Josie Lau is our second one. So very, very proud of that. Proud of those girls. They worked super, super hard, and just proud that they went through and did all that work for that. And then, of course, proficiency awards. Every year we come back and take back the applications and the comments from the judges and try to improve for the next year to, like I said, tell the story. I mean, these kids, they're doing the work. They're out there, they're doing it, and they're working hard. And it's great to see them rewarded for all the hard work that they do. But sometimes corralling them to sit them down to tell their story in a way that someone who doesn't know them understands what they're doing, that's the challenge. But they do it. And at the time, I know there's a lot of just like, oh, this is a lot of work. But then once they get done, it's great to see how well that they do. And just, I'm just so proud of them for doing that.
Very rewarding.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Josie Lau is in the studio with us as well. Welcome back. How are you, Josie?
Good. How are you, Phil?
Oh, wonderful. So how was that first year of college?
Good. I liked it a lot. Yes, SDSU has a very strong ag program. So it was cool to see a lot of kids with the same values and interests.
And you were on the rodeo team?
I was, yep.
How did that go?
Good. So we have a coach, and then we have about 50 people on our team. So it was cool to have like designated practices and meet all these new people.
Do you have a conference you compete in?
Yep. So we're going up against different people from North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, and Iowa.
And how did the team do then?
We did pretty well. For my first year, it was cool. I made it back to some short goes, so that's like top 10 out of however many people are in that event. So it was cool to have a step up in competition and see all the environment and how it changed.
Now that you're in college rodeo, you're no longer eligible for the Wisconsin High School Rodeo.
Though, nope, right? I'm not, but I'll still be going to support.
I bet you will. That's coming up real soon.
Yeah.
So some things that you got from that, I mean, certainly that you've gained a lot of confidence through the years through rodeo, haven't you?
Yeah. There was a lot of events in high school rodeo, and I met a lot of people, and it was cool to push myself out of my comfort zone and just expand my knowledge.
I thought it was really an awesome thing last year during the Ithaca homecoming where they honored the past athlete and you got to ride. You were the only two, I think, that from Ithaca that were ever top female rodeo, right?
Yeah. So it was really cool to meet her and like go through the parade and just like hear all of her stories. And she had a lot of saddles, so it was cool to see that.
Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about FFA. And you're still involved. You still got an award possibly coming up later this year, don't you?
Yes. So I got gold, and I was the top five finalists for equine entrepreneurship. So it was a lot of documenting, and it took a lot of hours, but it was cool to look, like, once it was done, it was really cool to look back and see all of the stuff you did. And you, like, I never realized how much I did when you, like, write it all down and you take your pictures and, like, you analyze everything. And, like, you even just, like, the tack and, like, hauling to different places. It's really cool to, like, look back and have, like, kind of a record of all the stuff that you've done. And it's cool to see that, like, it can, I don't know, it was helpful. And, like, you're like, wow, I did all this stuff.
Living in the moment, yeah, you probably don't realize it. It's kind of a blur, I'm sure, isn't
it? Right. You're kind of just going from one thing to the next, and then you start adding it all up when you look back, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I did do a lot.
So that's for the one-year project, or is that, like, your entire FFA years? Or how does
so
it
work? You start when once you started your project. So I did mine, I think I started in, like, eighth grade, and then I just, like, continued to expand. So, like, I got a couple new horses, or I started training young ones, and, like, increased in, like, your tack and your feed, and you just kind of expand.
I'm guessing when you're in school and in South Dakota, you probably come across a lot of other FFA, former FFA members, don't you?
Yeah, I do, actually. Landon Thompson and I were just talking. He's like, oh, my gosh, you know one of these people? I was like, yeah. Like, we met at school, and he's like, I went to FFA with, like, he went to conventions with her. So it's cool to meet a lot of ag kids, and there's a lot of FFA kids that were really strong in their chapters.
Will you be involved then? Will you go to the state convention next week then as well?
Yes, I will be there, yep.
Okay, and you get a chance for an award there?
Yep, and so we'll have a presentation, kind of like I'll do a board, and then people can come by and ask questions and kind of see what I've done throughout the year.
I know how you kind of got started. It's really in the family genes, isn't it? Being a horse person, right?
Yep. So my grandfather had a farm, and my parents, or my mom and my uncle, did a lot with it. And my sisters were involved with horses. And I was like, well, if they're doing it, I can do it. So getting involved. But I really didn't know a ton about FFA until Melissa pursued us in middle school. And I didn't even know they did like equine entrepreneurship and stuff like that. So it was cool to see all of the opportunities that FFA had, and, like, having a great advisor that showed you all of the information and, like, just was really good with, like, informing you. You could always ask questions. She was always there to answer, and that made it really helpful, and you got involved with a lot of different people.
Do they have to twist your arm a lot to be involved with horses then when you were growing up?
Not really. No? Nope.
So it comes naturally. What would you say would be your biggest accomplishment from your FFA days?
I think it was, through entrepreneurship, I got to learn, like, I was using young horses and finally getting to show them and, like, displaying that I was, like, training them and getting to display that through this equine entrepreneurship. That was really cool to me to, like, look back on how far I've come and have these opportunities.
Was the biggest challenge the paperwork?
I would have to say yes. Like, writing down all of the details, it was a lot of work, but Melissa was helpful. She was like, well, this is how they set it up, and really good at advising and giving information.
Speaking of which, you would try to get some younger people involved in FFA. How would you advise them, or what would you tell them about the benefits of being involved?
I would say, like Melissa said, you don't have to come from an ag background. It's really good information to always have. Like, farming is really strong in Wisconsin, and I think it's cool information that you can go in so many different directions with FFA. It's not just, like, the beef industry or the horse industry. Like, they have all kinds of opportunities, and I think some people don't realize all of the, like, opportunities you have throughout FFA and how many places and directions it can take you.
Only the third person to receive the award we talked about, Talina did last year, and now, and John Lewis, you know John Lewis way back in the day. It's quite an honor, isn't it?
Yes, it was. It was really cool. I wasn't sure about doing it. I was like, Melissa's like, you should try, and I was like, okay. But, like, and we did a lot of paperwork. You had to talk about all of your accomplishments, all the awards, all the hours you put in, and you're looking back, you're like, oh my gosh, we did all this stuff all the time. But it was really cool and, like, quite an honor to have that accomplishment.
So someday, is South Dakota going to get you? Are you going to settle back in the area, or have you made that decision yet?
Well, I haven't decided yet, but I think I might spend one or two summers in South Dakota, but I'm not sure yet. It's nothing set in stone.
Putting you on the spot a little bit.
Yeah, well. That's all right.
But I think you'd like to be involved in agriculture someday, wouldn't you?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Let's move over to Maggie Kirshner. We've kept her waiting long enough. I know she's been dying to be on the air with us this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Good to have you in here, Maggie.
Thank you.
How does it feel now to be a graduated senior?
Hasn't really hit yet. Kind of weird, but
I think it'll hit more August when school's starting again.
Sure.
Moving to college and stuff. Yeah.
And where are you headed to college?
UW-Platteville for elementary education.
Awesome. We need more good teachers.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Is there a teacher that inspired you, Maggie? Maybe that you wanted to get into elementary ed?
I'd say just, I guess all my teachers through elementary have been great role models, so all of them.
All of them. That's a good answer. So tell me about your project, and you're a top five state finalist. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I completed an SAE in equine entrepreneurship, and I earned a gold, and I placed top five for the state finalist.
Wonderful. And tell me about your project. How long have you been working on this?
So my project was a summary from sixth grade. It began just from then until now throughout all the horses I had, including all my finances, my goals, activities, and hours I've put in with them.
That's a lot of work, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Josie said, like, it's a lot. Yeah.
And horses are not cheap, are they?
Not at all. No.
So, nope. you had a lot. I bet it was an eye-opening thing when you started to document all of the costs and everything, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I've had a lot of support throughout the years. Grandparents, my parents as well, coaches. So, yeah, they've been very helpful.
And you were a part of the WEHA team. You guys had some success with that, didn't
you? Yeah, we've made it to state many of the years. But, yeah, I wouldn't have accomplished much without my coach, Jenny Lau, and Melissa Sprecher for all the help.
Yeah, no doubt. So, you think you're going to be involved with horses through your years then?
I'm not sure what my future has with horses yet, but we'll see.
What would you say your biggest accomplishment has been through your FFA years?
I would say achieving all my goals with my horses, too, whether it's from, like, decreasing my barrel time, increasing a jump in a pattern, and, yeah, trail classes, going through more obstacles, earning trust with my horses. Yeah.
That's a big thing. There are a lot of variables, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. Every horse that I've owned had many different attitudes. They were trained differently. So I've had to adapt to changes throughout the years with all of them.
Right. You got to be a horse whisperer then, don't you? What about the favorite part?
My favorite part was probably all the skills I've gained and accomplishments I've made throughout the years. Like, looking back through my SAE project, it has been a lot. And like Josie said, like, wow, like, I did a lot. So, yeah, it's been good.
And difficult? A difficult part?
I would say the changes with all the horses. Yeah, just adapting to change, all that. It's been hard, but I've learned a lot, so.
Did it take a lot of convincing to join FFA when you were a youngster?
I joined my freshman year, I believe, but I think my brother was in it, so, and Melissa pushed me to be in it, so.
Positive thing for you, hasn't
yeah.
it been? Sure. Mm-hmm. You've accomplished a lot. Do you have advice for youngsters that are still in school about getting into FFA?
Yeah, just step out of your comfort zone, do things. Time goes by really fast, so just enjoy it all and never give up.
Good. So school starts in the fall, and then, would you possibly like to be involved in agriculture as well, like kind of on the side someday?
Yeah, I might have animals in the future, live on a farm. Who knows? I'm not too sure yet, but we'll see.
That's on down the road.
Yeah.
Good. Well, enjoy your summer, too.
Thank you. You too.
You bet. Maggie Kirscher joining us, and Annabeth Sprecher is here as well. She was able to make it here today, now that school's not in session. Well, congratulations, Annabeth. Can you tell us a little bit about your swine production project?
Hi, thank you for having me. As a lot of people may know, I grew up showing pigs. Started when I was at 4 years old because my sister was doing it. And then just ever since then, as I've gotten older, I've just taken over more and more of the pig and showing aspect of it. So after this, I'll probably go home and walk pigs and rinse them because we do have a show coming up on Sunday. But I really just help more on the showing aspect, and then during the winter with helping with farrowing out pigs, a lot of late nights in the barns and early mornings, and once in a while having to check cameras to make sure no pigs are being born, and going out when my mom doesn't want to, and when I get told to, and then just watering pigs all the time, and then helping with feeding and walking every day. Oh, and picturing and videoing baby pigs. Takes a lot of patience and a lot of time.
I would guess. So I was a pig raiser back in the day. People always told me that pigs are really, really smart animals. Now, is this true? What would you say?
They're way too smart for their own good.
Really?
Some breeds are a lot smarter than others, too.
Huh. Now, that's interesting, because I never got that.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple that will find a way in, like, 5 minutes to get out of their pen.
But you worked with other animals, so is it easy to train pigs and get them to do what you want?
I would say for the most part, yes. You just have to have a lot of patience with them, and it's kind of different with each pig, and each breed is a little bit different how you have to break them. But I feel like I can get a pig broke in about 2 days.
Wow.
It's pretty good. So it's probably better breaking pigs than it is cattle and sheep. I would definitely prefer it over them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. So you've won some awards here, gold and a sectional winner. Which one are you most proud of?
I'd probably say the sectional winning and being able to move on to state. I was third at state last year, so it's pretty cool that I'm also a state finalist this year for 2 years in a row.
And beef and poultry, you're involved in those as well?
Yes, I got a gold and sectional winner for my poultry and a silver for my beef.
What's the difference between entrepreneurship and placement?
The entrepreneurship is where you own the animal and you have control like over all the financial part. And then the placement is when you help like on a farm. So with my swine placement, I work for Century Oak Livestock, which is our farm with the pigs, but I don't own any of the pigs. I just work for them.
Okay, that's interesting. So you just finished your sophomore year. You have some goals coming up here for your junior and senior year as far as being an officer and those kind of things?
Yes, this coming year I'll be a junior and I'll be the president for our FFA chapter, which is pretty exciting. I think we'll have a good officer team this year, and I'm excited to do a lot with them.
This is something that I'm guessing your mom wanted to do a long time ago. Did you have to get your arm twisted very much to be involved?
No. I was very willing to do this when we started the middle school chapter when I was in seventh grade. So I've been here since seventh grade doing a lot. And we did a Quiz Bowl team and a conduct chapter. I was kind of in charge of pushing those along.
How did you do on the Quiz Bowl team?
I think we made it to state 1 year, my eighth grade year, and then we made it to sectionals my seventh grade year.
Do you remember any of the questions, any examples of those?
I remember some of the dates. That's why I was kind of in charge of remembering, but not a lot.
You learned it at the time, right? So what would you say your biggest accomplishment has been so far during your young career?
I would have to say either winning Tamworth Barrows and being in the Camp of Champs at State Fair is pretty cool. And all my accomplishments for showmanship at the national shows.
Favorite part that you've accomplished so far?
Just having a relationship with every pig. I love my pigs. They're my life. And I just love being out in the barn and working with them every day. It's really neat to see how different personalities each pig has and how you have to show them differently, too.
What's the hardest part?
Waking up in the morning.
I would guess that is true. That's probably true for all of us. Can you see yourself being involved in agriculture someday?
Definitely. I don't think I could ever let the show pig side of me go, so I'll probably definitely stay in that area. Not quite sure about the beef and sheep, but definitely somewhere in the agriculture.
Yeah, so you'd much rather train a hog then.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have advice for kids who would like to go into this area?
Just put in the hard work. The late nights and early mornings will be worth it once you accomplish stuff.
Would you like to possibly wind up back in the area someday? Or
I don't know. There's too cold of winters up here for me. I like the warm weather.
That's true, very much. We'll come back with more in the morning show as we talk about FFA in the area here on WRCO's Morning Show. We wrap up our morning show today on WRCO Radio. In the studio with us today, Josie Lau, Maggie Kirshner, and Annabeth Sprecher, and their advisor, Melissa Sprecher. Melissa, it's just amazing how much work, how many hours went into some of these projects.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the girls had said before, when you get it all on paper and you look back, it's like, man, like we all knew they did a lot. And I see it from the outside because I'm watching them do it all. But there's so many things that they did that I didn't even know that they did too. So like you said, you put it down on paper and you're like, they do a lot. And these kids aren't, that's not all they do either. That's the even more amazing part of it is amongst doing all of that, they're still doing sports. You know, Joey's is away at college and still able to do all this. You know, they have jobs. You know, they're involved in so many other organizations too, but yet they're still putting the hours in these projects. And I think Annabeth kind of touched on this a little bit, the late nights, because sometimes you don't get home till 8 o'clock at night and you still have to walk pigs and rinse them. And that's, you know, could be 2 hours, or you still have steers that need to get rinsed out and blown out and, you know, and taken care of. And everything needs to be fed. We go to pig shows on the weekends and some, you know, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning and we're out the door by 3:30, do chores before we leave, and we get home at night, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, and we still have to do chores. And in fact, one night we came home and we had baby pigs born, so we had to deal with that too. And so these kids aren't just, you know, getting up at 6:30 and jumping in the shower and going to school and then coming home and, you know, relaxing back. They're involved. And so, you know, I'm very, very proud of all the work that they've done, but then also the work they did to show what they've done is pretty awesome.
Well, you've done a great job as an advisor. During the break, we were talking about you never stop learning about these things either, do you?
Yes, that's correct. So when I was in FFA, our advisor didn't have us do the proficiencies and things like that. So I had a very limited access to what I did in FFA just because I wasn't exposed to it. So when I became FFA advisor, I learned a lot about what FFA has to offer, which has been awesome. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning new things that they have to offer and ways to get kids involved in different ways. And like I was saying with these proficiency applications, the first ones we filled out, you know, they were pretty basic because we didn't quite know what we were doing yet. So I've been learning, and I try to go, you know, talk to other advisors and ask them, like, what do you do here and what do you advise here? And, you know, as far as doing all the non-current inventory and the current inventory, and how do you get the numbers to all work and add up and make sense? And where do you put it into the program so when it comes out in the application, it looks right? And so, yeah, as the kids are doing the proficiency awards, I'm printing them off and, you know, going through and making, you know, like telling them, like, oh, you need to change this or add to this, or this doesn't sound quite right. And so they each have a folder and I make notes and then I send them out. And like Josie was just saying, when she's away at college, so I'd send her a Snapchat and I'd be like, okay, you need to change this. And so every day she knew when she saw my name, oh, doing something on the proficiency award today. So yeah. Always learning. And I mean, I think that's part of life though, right? Isn't that the great part of life, is learning something new every day and then being able to share that with other people?
Yeah, very much so. You talk about, is there a program that is set up for this? I mean, I envision when you're talking about a 30-page essay, you're writing it out on a piece of paper, but that's not the case, is it?
No, that's a good idea, though. Maybe I shouldn't have them start out that way.
Yeah.
Josie's face right now. Yeah, so there's a program that the National FFA uses. It's called the AET, and basically you can go in there and track what you're doing, so you can enter in. And I tell the kids, every time that you purchase something, go in and enter it in right away so you aren't trying to do it at the end of the year. Like, so you don't, you know, have to have like your shoebox of receipts to enter. But you're actually kind of doing as you go, and go in and enter all, like every time you do a contest, go in and enter those things. Every time that we have a meeting, those kinds of things, enter that in. But then when it comes to the essay part of the application, like we talked about, like, how did you get started? What are your challenges? What are your goals? Those are all in the application part. So yeah, they type those in, and then, you know, we go back and we, you know, make some edits to it, like whether it be, you know, make this sound better, or you need to spell these words out better, or make this make more sense, because to you it makes sense, but to a person judging, maybe it doesn't. So just teaching those skills as well. I mean, those are important skills, communication skills, because when you're in a job and something might make sense to you because in your head it sounds right, but when you to somebody else, that direction maybe doesn't make sense. So you're trying to teach them that clarification and, you know, good communication skills as well.
How did the poultry project go at Ithaca this year?
Oh, it went great. So that was super fun. Yeah, we had applied for and got a grant through Compere to have, I got an incubator and some brooders. And so we hatched 70 eggs and we invited the elementary school to be part of it. And so they would come down and check the incubator. Of course, not much is happening in the incubator because the eggs are just kind of rotating. But every day that they'd come down, we'd talk through them with what's going on in the egg today and what's happening. And then we had a poster where they could see a visual of what every day looked like. And then the babies hatched. So that was exciting. It was on a Monday. They actually were supposed to start hatching Monday morning. I went in on Sunday afternoon just to kind of check on them, and I could hear a couple little peeps going on. So I knew that we were already in hatching. And so, of course, as soon as I put an email out to the elementary teachers and said, hey, we have baby chicks, and, you know, we had kids down there. So I put the incubator actually out into the hallway, and it was amazing how many people just would stop by and look in to see, you know, they'd hear the chirping as they go by. And then we'd pull out the baby chicks, and we had them in the brooders. And then every day we'd bring the chickens out, the baby chicks out, and the you know, talk to the kids about, you know, the different breeds and how they start out and how do you know if they're a, you know, a hen or a rooster. And yeah, it was a great experience. A lot of kids purchased baby chicks and took them home. And so yeah, it was an overall great experience. We're excited to do it again next year. And I think we're kind of looking at maybe trying to maybe hatch in some turkeys, maybe some other poultry as well. But that was our first try at it.
Today is National Egg Day, by the way.
Oh, perfect. June, so yes, nice which those talk. Are worth gold these days as
they
well.
They sure are. Josie, how long are you home for this summer then?
So I'm here for the summer, and then I'll probably head back around middle of August. So we start end of August for school, but I might head back and do, like, we have some practices and stuff, so I'll be back there and busy.
Do you travel with your horses back and forth?
Yep, so I haul our truck and trailer and then two horses, so it's a lot of driving, but I like driving, so it's fun.
Yeah, the horses are used to it by now, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What are their names, by the way?
So I have Dash and then Rainy.
Dash and Rainy. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck in the next rodeo season. Do you do some in the fall then as well?
Yep. So we have a season in the fall, and then we take a break in the middle of winter so they don't make us rodeo through the snow. And then we start back up in March. So it's still kind of cold in March, but it's all of our rodeos in the spring are indoors, so it's nice.
What event is your event that you contribute to the team, or are you kind of in all of them?
So I'm in goats, sparrows, and breakaway, but I would say my best event right now is goat tying.
Okay. Well, good luck with that in the new season.
Thank you.
And Maggie, good luck with you in the summer. Things are going well. Plans for the summer?
Mm-hmm. I have a steer also this summer, so I'll be working with him a lot, rinsing him morning, afternoon, and night. So
doing some work there and then getting ready for school.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, well, good luck at Platteville. I know
you'll
do well. Absolutely. And Annabeth, do you get a nap during the day then or not?
We'll see if I get a nap today, but depending what time I get done with pigs, might not even be tired. Just keep going.
Give you that adrenaline. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Melissa, thanks for organizing this today. We've enjoyed talking with the students.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us in, Phil. And so next week, Tuesday, the kids will have their displays on at the Lion Energy Center State Convention. So, and then at 2:00 at the general session, they'll be announcing who our winners are. So hopefully we'll have some news for you Tuesday night that we have some state winners.
That'd be awesome. Keep us posted.
Yes, we absolutely will. Thank you so much for having us in today.
You're welcome. Melissa Sprecher joining us, Ithaca FFA advisor, along with Josie Lau, Maggie Kirshner, and Annabeth Sprecher on today's morning show.